This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. Journalist Hugh Pope is Istanbul bureau chief for the Wall Street Journal. That places him in the biggest, most cosmopolitan city of modern Turkey. It also places him in the western end of a stretch of countries and regions from southern Europe to western China, where the people are Turkic. Hugh Pope writes about some of those countries and the people who are called Sons of the Conquerors. That's the title of his book. It is about the Turks, a family of peoples who, Hugh Pope says, can be described in different ways.
There's many ways to cut the cake. The Turkic world is basically a group of languages, which is about 140 million people. The main countries, though, that could be described as Turkic majority states are six, as Turkey, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and the Kyrgyz Republic.
All but Turkey, formerly Soviet republics.
Yes, and Turkey's system of administration, of course, in the old days was a single-party state, so their cultural and political background is not completely different from the other Turkic states.
Apart from distant roots in the steppes of Asia, what do all of these countries have in common?
I think it's an informal thing rather than any political or ideological thing. It was a sum total of various things like I felt there was an opportunistic genius in the way people behaved. I found physical similarities. I found cultural similarities and, of course, linguistic similarities. And it's quite an amazing thing for someone like myself who had learnt Turkish in Istanbul, and I take a flight 6 hours east to Urumqi in China, get out of the plane, and with very little preparation can speak to people in the street.
You're speaking, in that case, to people who are members of the Uyghur minority.
That's correct, yes, the Uyghurs of Xinjiang, about 8 million people in that territory, which is one-sixth of China's landmass, and they are still half of the population there, although, of course, a drop in the ocean of Han Chinese in the whole of China.
Nothing sums up the problematic self-image of the Turks than the story of the word Turk itself, which didn't mean the same thing 100 years ago that it means today. It had all kinds of connotations that we would consider both negative and not descriptive of the people who live in Turkey.
It's an extremely complicated world, many things bundled into it. But one thing that we tend to forget about the word Turk is that 1,000 years ago, it was already being used in Central Asia to define the joint characteristics of the various different Turkic groups and tribes. And it has this deep-rooted legitimacy in the eyes in Turkish. Now, of course, over the centuries, it became diluted, and especially in the Ottoman Empire, where the Ottoman court developed a different culture, and initially based on Persian culture and then later based on French culture in their government.
And the Ottoman gentleman would regard a Turk as some kind of rube who lived out in the countryside.
Precisely. And that's also the case in countries like Iran today, where any Persian's reaction to the idea of a Turk is Turkish donkey. You see it on the websites, you see it in literature, and it's because the Turks, as Turks, are uneducated. That culture has never been developed. But now, with six different independent states all trying to create new Turkic identities, I call them Turkic. They would call it Uzbek or Turkmen, but it is Turkic. And even if you ask someone like President Nazarbayev, what are you? And his
he of Kazakhstan.
The president of Kazakhstan, he says, I am a Turk. And you look at him slightly oddly, because Turk now means a citizen of Turkey. He says, no, not like that. We sent armies from here 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, to conquer Turkey. They married the local population, and now they are called Turkey. But the real Turks are still here in Central Asia, and it's us.
Well, the breakup of the Soviet Union seemed to signal the start of another round of what was once known as the Great Game. Whose influence would prevail in this stretch of countries? Would it be Russian? Would it be Iranian? Would it be Saudi? Would it be American? Would it be Turkish? How are the Turks doing?
Politically, not a high profile at the moment. I think the big change from a century ago, the Great Game you refer to, when the Russian Empire and the British Empire famously competed, is that the local states now mean something. In the old days, no one really paid much attention to the Kazakh Khans or the Uzbek tyrants that they met there. But now these countries have their own identities. They've managed to find a way of balancing themselves between the great players of Russia, China. So I think that has changed, that the great game is a somewhat more complex game in which the Turkic countries and Turkic peoples have more space. But having said that, Turkey, and to a certain extent, by its own desire, stepped back from having a strong political big brother role. It wasn't wanted, and it caused problems. Turkey's completely eclipsed Iran in those countries because of simple matters of commerce. Turkish businessmen are the single biggest community of businessmen in any of these Turkic capitals.
Turkey, until a couple of centuries ago, was a great imperial power, had... controlled the Balkans, a good deal of southeastern Europe, and lots of other lands, the Middle East, and finally was reduced after the First World War to its current state, the rump state of Turkey. You observe at some point it is not unusual to talk with Turks about the decline, the sense of what's wrong here. This is a preoccupation in Turkish discourse.
Yes, there's a sense of inferiority and a sense of that the world has turned against them. In fact, the last two centuries has seen rather less than conquest, has mainly seen Turks being turfed out of the places that they conquered. And that's one of the reasons that Turkey has been such a defensive kind of country and perhaps even a militarist kind of country, in a defensive way, but prickly, and worried about losing more territory, being divided up. I think America is suffering from this right now because the Turks are convinced that America is trying to create an independent Kurdistan in Iraq, and they see that as an extension of the European 19th century efforts to divide the Ottoman Empire. So yes, they do remember that very clearly, and you see it too in the Turkic world. Azerbaijan obviously lost territory in Nagorno-Karabakh to Armenia, and that memory is a very live one and influences the way Turks view the world even now.
That the West, given a chance, will hive off lands off of what Turks regard as theirs.
Indeed, yes, and historically that has been the trend.
Well, Hugh Pope, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Hugh Pope is the author of Sons of the Conquerors, The Rise of the Turkic World.